Go back to item number six, delegation of authority. This is a discussion. We'll discuss with the director about current delegation of authority, so I will open that up for discussion. Discussion of delegation. Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Chairman. I just wondered if we could hear from staff. I understand that we have in our briefing book here the current delegation memo of August of a year ago or so. But the deputy director's done a little bit of research on this, and so I wondered if we could hear a little bit more about that before we get into the discussion.
Sure.
Here he is.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair and Commissioner McIsaac. There are actually four documents I want to refer to as we go through this process. The first, Commissioner McIsaac just mentioned, and that's the August 5th, 2017 delegation memo. And what we were tasked to do was to look for ways to manage the agenda, potentially increasing delegation to the authority, but look for at that issue and at, for other ways to create more space on the agenda for other policy issues. And the second document is that's marked draft May 4th, 2018. I think you've seen before. But what I did to generate this document is I went back through the agendas for the formal 2 or 3 day meetings we've had and the conference calls that we've had over the last 18 months. And taking a look at those agendas, came up with two sets of suggestions. And I, you know, some of these are I think good ideas, some of them not so good. So maybe I shouldn't call them recommendations, but more like observations of things we could do to manage the agenda in a tighter way. The first set under action one doesn't require any delegation of authority. I think we've got the ability to do that under existing authority. And the second set of actions, and this is all on the sheet that Tammy just handed out, has to do with some limited increases in delegation. I didn't want to presume too much. I didn't have a sense from the commission or from the director as to, you know, the thoughts there might be about larger level issues being delegated, but I've got three ideas there that have come up in the past, I think, in commission discussions. Let me run through this quickly. Again, this is the May 4th, 2018 document. The action one items include, when we look at periodic species status reviews, and there's no recommended change in status, perhaps we wouldn't need to spend any time on those as a full commission. You know, there could be a memo to the file or a memo to the commission that says we went through the review and the threatened or endangered status remains the same. Again, I'm not saying these are great ideas or not, but
do you want us to respond as we go through, or
why don't we pull
or hold off?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, go through it, Joe.
Okay, the second idea, there are a number of general orientation briefings that the agency will bring forward. They weren't necessarily requested by the commission via a blue sheet. Some examples of that, as I looked at the 18 months, included, I think there were four meetings in a row where enforcement came and presented some aspect of what they do. And it's, you know, I'm not making a judgment as to whether it was beneficial or not, but it could have been done other ways, you know, like a briefing paper or a separate meeting or whatever. But we had presentations about the website development, about our lean processes, just some examples of things we could possibly cover in other ways. Another observation, and I think you commissioners have talked about this one, is we have oftentimes in the last 18 months had three opportunities for public input over the course of a day and a half, you know, maybe one a day, maybe one. Another way to potentially free up some additional time. when we go through the three-year hunting and fishing packages, there are often components, and we don't spend a lot of time on them, but in aggregate, they add up to sometimes to, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour of a two-hour presentation. The components that the public has no problem with and that the commissioners have no problem with. And, you know, we could potentially put that on a consent calendar approach, which I'll talk about in a second, or deal with as an expedited rule potentially and not spend a lot of time in the formal meetings discussing. For some reason, and I don't know why, but clam and oyster seasons in the Puget Sound have been receiving commission attention and approval. And when I look at the delegation letter, I think you already delegated that to the director.
Just this last year. So it got added.
So that's something that we won't need to do in the future. And then this consent calendar process. I sent you a separate document. I didn't make copies of it again, but I went on and got some rules for a consent agenda, consent calendar. I believe a number of commissioners have been on boards or commissions and other times and places where consent calendar has been used. The idea here is whether it's meeting minutes or whether it's a particular request from the public or you know whatever the issue or decision might be, if there's a predetermined sense of consensus of approval by the commission, then it's just noted as approved and it sits on a consent calendar and you don't spend time doing the decision making or analysis of it all. If any one of you commissioners wanted it to receive full attention at a full meeting, then that's what would happen. But it would require some work ahead of time to canvass the commissioners and make sure that everybody was on board with a particular approach or direction. So those were the ideas that we came up with in terms of what we could do now under existing delegated authority. Action two, three items there that would require some change in delegation. One was the approval of timber sales less than or equal to, right now I think it says 10,000 feet. In the past it was up to 1,000,000 feet. We had a meeting about 5 or 6 years ago, and I believe it was Commissioner Jennings was concerned at the time because we had some fire damaged timber that we were trying to recover, and the commission felt it needed to be more involved at that point in time in those kinds of sales, and so we reduced it down. You could take it back up. It was at 1,000,000 feet for a number of years. The second idea has to do with approval of land leases, concessions, easements, crop share agreements, selling of agricultural commodities, land use agreements. So, you know, as long as, again, the director was able to say this was done per local land use requirements and make sure the commission's aware that it was done, you know, perhaps you could delegate that. And then the third idea was the approval of minor rule changes that are required by legislation or a court order, for instance, where we have no choice but to make the change. Some examples of that might be, if you remember a couple meetings ago, we came to you and spent, you know, 15 minutes talking about public disclosure requests and the new ability that the legislature gave us to charge under certain circumstances. You know, perhaps we didn't need to spend that agenda time on that issue because we were required to do something about it. And there are other issues or other examples of that. One other I can think of was the we went to court with on the prospecting issue under HPAs, and the court decided we hadn't done enough on our small business economic analysis. We came back and we fixed that and reported back to the commission. Didn't require a lot of discussion. There wasn't a lot of controversy about it. So that's another example of where we might be able to do that outside of the meeting itself. So again, just a brainstorm set of ideas. I like some of these a lot better than others. There's kind of an assumption here that the orientation, education about certain issues would occur somewhere else. You know, like I said earlier, that could be a briefing, that could be a separate meeting, but, you know, that is an assumption that I'm making here. And then the fourth document that I need to pass out, what I did here was taking those ideas, I went through 2017, and I, I'll wait till you get a copy of it here. So for the fiscal year 2017, I went through the conference calls and I went through the standing two or three day meetings. I didn't list the coming to order or the approval of minutes in the formal meetings, but what you see here is by month. The single line entries are typically what was dealt with in a conference call, and then the group of entries is what we went through during the course of a meeting like this one. And I highlighted in yellow those that could have been shortened or removed as a result of some of the ideas I laid out in the previous document. And I put a number behind them. For instance, on the first page under January Enforcement Program update, that you see the A1B, and that just refers back to the May 4th document, and that was a general orientation briefing that, you know, we could have done some other way, some other time. So there's those four documents. The delegation.
Well, let's let him finish first.
Well, No. I just need a clarification on this. Okay. So what you have highlighted in yellow would be things that would go off, would be delegated.
They Commissioner Holzmiller. They would either be reduced in scope, or they would be removed from the agenda.
Okay. Thank you.
So that's pretty much what I had, those four documents, just giving you some ideas. And I think this last one that's titled Delegation of Commission Authority, September 14th, just gives you a sense of the impact, you know, in terms of time at a standard sort of meeting. And it's my sense of it is, you know, that it's not big pieces of these meetings. It would be a relatively minor change, you know, hour on the order of an hour or two probably per meeting. So that's what I have, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Commissioner Thunburn?
Well, I'll start with a disclaimer as I put my comments forward. I love the periodic status reviews. It's one of my favorite presentations of the meetings.
When I put that on there, Commissioner, I thought about you.
Yes, exactly. But I also enjoy reading them. So, yeah, I mean, they're my nighttime reading. So I suppose I could do that. So I've thought about this first list in the context of the consent calendar, which I do have experience with. In thinking about, like you were talking, using a consent calendar with our process does raise some challenges, because the kinds of organizations that I've used a consent calendar, we could actually come to the meeting and pull something off of the consent calendar at the meeting. But a lot of preparation goes into our items, and so that kind of use of a consent calendar I'm not sure is really possible. And as you point out, it would be incumbent on us to have the consent calendar in front of us and give feedback kind of through the commission in advance so that we could have that item put on. And I think of it in terms of periodic status reviews, because we do have a responsibility. The staff has its recommendation in terms of the status. Very often, that recommendation is based on a recovery plan. Generally, it should be, because there's usually some recovery figure in, or downlisting or uplisting figure in the recovery plan. That's expected in recovery plans. Recovery plans are made at a certain point. There are assumptions that go into the recovery plan. As we get more experience going through recovery, that might change. You know, and I'm thinking of sharp-tail grouse, sorry. But we decided that the number, which was a total population number in the recovery plan, was not sufficient to define the status of the bird in our state. And it was based on public testimony. It's our responsibility to make that status recommendation or how to move forward. So I just sort of using the PSRs as an example, if we put them on a consent calendar, I would certainly feel responsible for having read that PSR, thought it through, maybe not having the advantage of public testimony, which helped us think through the sharp-tailed grouse issue, but ourselves sort of going, okay, so here's the recovery plan. This is the recommendation based on the recovery plan. Is the recovery plan entirely appropriate to define the status of the species? A lot of sort of thinking that we'd have to do to make a decision. Do we need to bring this off of the consent calendar so the full commission can have this discussion? So while I love the consent calendar idea, I'm having a little bit of trouble figuring out how we can make it work with our kind of meetings that require so much preparation for agenda items. Long, but sorry. My thinking.
Did you want
to? Well, no, I just would agree with Commissioner Thorburn. I think it would require some experimentation, in terms of how it fits, and it would require a lot of process ahead of time.
Yeah.
I just have a question for Joe. In several instances here, we see the open public input marked in yellow. Now, and that means it is the potential to be removed, but that occurs only because there was an item on the agenda at that meeting. And so if we eliminated that, we delegated that particular topic, then the public input would also go?
Commissioner, what I did here with the highlighting is not related to a particular agenda item. I mean, we could have that discussion too. All I did here is when we had two or three public input opportunities, yeah. General public input opportunities per meeting, I did away with one of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, I just get a little nervous when I see public input mm-hmm. being cast aside. To my mind, I'm just speaking for myself, that those are very important, critical, and if anything, we need more.
I'm not sure how we are going to get to finality on this, but my comments are directed at your May 4th document. And by the way, this is really helpful, the yellow one. I believe that we can't talk a lot about elevating the decisions that we're making in this group without delegating more. Either that, or we're going to see a lot more of each other, and I don't think that's a good alternative either. So I like the idea of I would like to say that I think we should include in our new delegations both the combination of your action one and action two, with the exception of, I like Commissioner Thorburn also really enjoy the periodic status updates. I'd like to keep them. I don't think they take that much time. I also believe that the general public input, if we're freeing up time on our calendar, we should keep that. I think, as we saw today, we had a full room. Those people all left. There may be more people at the end of the day. It works better for their calendar. I can't think of another agency that is as available to its constituents as this one is, and I really value that. As the consent calendar, to me, is an incredible idea. I worked with that a lot over at the legislature, and the key to that is that we know in advance what's on the consent calendar, and any one of us can take a piece off if we'd like. And as long as we have that and sort of that kind of assurance, I think that's a great idea. And the last thing I had to say is that on the last bullet, number three on action two, approval of minor rule changes, I also think that's a good idea, although some of these minor rule changes aren't minor to some of us. So, again, I'd like some sort of accounting for those either before or after the fact, and I'll leave that up to others.
Okay, you, and then, well, Don, you're next.
Don?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, originally, in what I recall the genesis of this was that someone had said, well, the commission's spending a lot of time on the size of the font for crab pot buoy marks and don't even get to hear about FERC license reviews. And that was when I found out about the delegation list, and so I took a look at this. And so in general, where I've been coming from to start with was what is appropriate to delegate to the director and presume we are never going to see, and apparently the FERC license thing is in that category, versus things that we are seeing that maybe should be delegated, and that gets into the matter of is it clogging up, so to speak, our agenda time where we run out of time on Saturdays and can't get to some other things. So it also came up when we got into the Puget Sound RMP, where the delegation on Treaty Indian Tribal Agreements was delegated to the director, but it did say the director shall annually report to the commission on issues associated with co-management agreements. But when things are less than 12 months and there's a big urgency, then there was not an obligation to consult with the commission. And the commission was generally surprised at the magnitude of the changes in a 10-year agreement. So I guess it kind of gets down to, are there more things that we should delegate to the director so that it allows us the freedom on, or less problems on agenda relief? And are there less things that are there some things that should be taken off the delegation list and brought back to the commission? And so in speaking to those, when I went through here, you know, there's a lot of things in here that say consult with the Fish and Wildlife Commission as needed. So on page three, interstate compacts, the director represent the state of Washington at Columbia Compacts, but shall consult with the Fish and Wildlife Commission as needed. And I think the insinuation there is as needed when there's a highly controversial issue. So if that's what intended, maybe that's just fine. Commission, the U.S.-Canada Treaty shall consult with the commission in representing the state of Washington. Doesn't say when or how often, but again, I presume the presumption is if there is some highly controversial thing, then that would be appropriate. The International Pacific Halibut Commission shall consult with the commission as needed. So again, if this presumes that when there is a matter of highly contentious issues, then the commission would be consulted with, I think that's probably proper. Agreements with the United States to protect Columbia River fish as defined. So I'm not sure if this is the water agreement with the United States, which is a treaty thing with Canada, but that's a huge thing for fish in the Columbia River, and it does not say consult with the commission as needed, and maybe that's one of the ones that falls into the FERC mitigation hatchery agreement type of thing, or FERC license for a hydropower dam that isn't listed anywhere in here, and I've been told that that's all delegated to the director, but it's not clear to me in this document that that's really the case. On page 4, you've got the Treaty Indian Tribal Agreements, and again, shall annually report. It would seem that we would trust the director that when there is a very big issue that comes up, that he would use his judgment and come before the commission if there's a huge policy thing. Other agreements, we get into a consultation with the commission, but it doesn't say on matters of high controversy, but I presume it's there. So anyway, I'm going to leap to the end for just a moment, where how does this get to finality? Since this is not listed as a decision thing, but just discussion today, and noting that in our November agenda, we only have 4 agenda items for our regular meeting, that maybe we could see a draft back in November with some of these changes to get more clarity on it. At least the hydropower dam FERC license things would be something I think should be in this category of delegated to the director, but to bring back to the commission before final or if there's any controversial issues. And so this is a matter of what is delegated to the director and what's not. Deputy Director Storr's Action 1 are things that are already delegated to the director that could be off the agenda, but they're commonly not. So the periodic status reviews. I think that a lot of these yellow markers are in that same category. And there may be some meetings where it's not that busy, and we can take up some things that are of interest to us. Some of these informational briefings can be quite valuable. But not if they displace a policy decision on our long-term budget or funding plan or something that's really important. So that's kind of a situational thing that would come under agenda planning. And each meeting, when we take a look at that and when we look at the year at a glance, if we see that there's some clogging going up with a recommendation to look at the copier cost price or something like that, then situationally you can do it. So... I think if the commission is inclined to give some general direction, that we never want to see these kinds of things because we're too busy. And it's going to push important things onto conference calls, which are a very poor way of doing business. Then I would encourage commissioners to bring those up and say, you know, these are things we really want to delegate to the director and never see at the front table again because they don't warrant our time. But for now, I guess I would just suggest that after the discussion here, that we ask the staff to come back with a marked up delegation of authority memo that gets to some of the missing issues gets to the questions of what should be added and what should not be added, and to maybe strengthen some of these. Consult with the Fish and Wildlife Commission as needed when there's high controversy. The Columbia River Water one, hydropower dam licenses and things like that would be in that intermediate category. Delected if it's kind of a no-brainer, but if it's a high controversy thing that we're going to hear a lot of public testimony on and hear a lot of complaints about, and people say, why isn't the commission weighing in on that huge policy issue, then we probably should not have some carte blanche delegation that we never do see that.
Yeah, I do. Thanks. Joe, thanks for putting together this, which you showed to us previously, the May 4th memo. I am thinking a lot about this after we brought it up. And I had meant to comment on another thought in the idea about delegating more authority or some additional authorities to the director when you brought up that the timber sales amount was changed under when Commissioner Jennings was on the commission, and it was a salvage sale that sort of brought it forward. I can imagine what the issues were that were going through David's head at the time. So I quickly looked at our policies, our commission policies, and noticed that we don't have any policies related to some of these items here, and that might be something that would help us be a little bit more comfortable with these expanded delegations, because I think we could put some policy framework around timber sales and then delegate it with that framework. So that was one idea I had. And then just sort of thinking about your thoughtful comments, Commissioner McIsaac, delegation means that we are asking the director to take on the responsibility of some of our authorities. Done in a sort of the trusting partnership that should exist between our staff person, the director, and the commission. It really becomes kind of a performance expectation. I think, in the act of delegating, there is this expectation that we're going to hear from the director, whatever the language is, when needed or something like that. So to me, I maybe putting it as blanket language in the introduction to the delegation memo, but it's a performance expectation, really.
With that, I'm going to... Wait.
Okay. Start out with a good one, the approval of timber sales, less than... And you'd use the idea of salvage. That's a big one, because there again, once you have a fire, you're looking at a salvage operation. It is a shelf life on that, because I saw Wizard of Smart in our part of the world set on about $500,000 because he was going to cut a better deal. The timber has a real short shelf life. You have contractors in there. No, that one to me is a slam dunk. The one above, approval of individual 3-year hunting packages, a new. Because there again, and don't get me wrong, Joe, but it's part, just like what took place over in Wenatchee this spring. People had showed up there. There's a lot of apathy from the hunting community, especially in Northeast already. This would just build to it on that. So that one I would have some real heartburn with. And, if it was a every meeting occurrence, but generally that's the March meeting that we have in the east side anyway. With Don on the major fish issues, could not agree more, because we about got a pretty major decision shoved down our throat using the quote-unquote delegation powers. Kelly's sharp enough on this. He isn't going to do something like that. But... yeah, I could not agree with you more. And the other one is in June, and there again, just kind of fell in the category. But that was a meeting that was in Clarkston, and U.S. Corps of Engineers Lower Granite fish trap. That was a geographic thing, and I guess I maybe get a little butthurt because that was my brainchild to get everybody over there. And... it was, to me, it was a good opportunity to show my commissioners what all was taking place in that little local geographic area with the fisheries issues. So, yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know we have another agenda.
I have a question. And maybe a comment, too. It sounds like maybe our agendas after this discussion might be bigger. So it's kind of funny how that works. You look to shorten something. But one issue that I don't see on here, and that has to do with delegation to the director of the department to take positions on legislation that is moving through the legislature. And I'm not suggesting, I guess my question would be to Joe would be kind of what typically, because I know Raquel and folks are over across the street a lot testifying on bills either neutral, in opposition, or in agreement. And so is that, does that fall anywhere within this document? And if not, kind of what the department's perspective is on that?
I, Commissioner Kehoe, I can, you know, give you some sense of what we've done in the past, that because that is a tough one. You know, a lot of times you can see the agendas for the various hearings. You can watch it move from the policy committee to the rules committee to the floor and then across and all of that. And there's time to engage stakeholders, the commission, et cetera. And so it's a judgment call often, but there have been a lot of times in the past where we have called either individual commissioners who have constituents that might be impacted, or all the commissioners to let them know, you know, for instance, the budget bill would be an example where we would want to have some discussion with all of you as that moved through. Sometimes there's not that ability, and sometimes we're not even aware. And so we will be in a position often to where we won't have the time and we'll have to make a decision. The other part of this, the legislative process that's difficult, is you've heard Raquel talk about we track 200, 300 bills every session, and we'll look at those once a week. You know, if something's changed, we'll look at them once a week. And we start to, you know, we talk about how much we would be impacted, how much do we really care, you know, if there's an impact, where does it exist, et cetera. So bottom line is, I think we work hard to think about commission and stakeholders as these bills are moving through and look for ways to communicate, but haven't written that down in terms of the delegation of authority letter. And
so may I make a suggestion then, just to follow up? And I'm, believe me, I'm not suggesting that the commission should be involved in every single bill that comes up, you know, and kind of weigh in, should we be neutral? But I do think it would be useful to include that in the delegation of authority somehow, some, you know, just kind of general discussion of exactly what you said. So,
okay.
Thank you.
Good. Yeah,
John. Very, very quickly. So I think if we could ask the staff to have, give the staff broad leeway to take a look at this, and in the spirit of this conversation, come up with any other ideas you might have there. The other one that comes to mind is lands. So we just had a lands thing, and I know Commissioner Holzmiller, well, I didn't hear him vote no on that last one anyway, but it seems to me that that's one that most often, it's on every agenda, and it usually has the same answer to it all. If there are no's, I think it should not be something that is delegated to the director. But if there's something in the lands area that can get to minor costs or something, maybe that would be something that you could put on there and we could talk about it the next time, unless there's objection here to stop that, which I'd be fine with if that's the case.
So, Director, you want to have the last word? How do you feel about, you know, coming back and, you know, with a revised...
I feel really good. I think I understand the spirit of this. I'm gaining my feet here and have a little better idea, and so I would be glad to come back with November with a draft proposal and a red line strikeout version.
Good. That'll give us something to work on. Thank you all. Thanks, Joe.